Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Revival Podcast. I'm Dave Butler.
I'm Stephen Tager.
We're so happy that you're here. This is a podcast that every week we go over a conference talk, and we kind of talk about some of the... conference seems to both encourage our faith and also show us the lifestyle of Jesus. This is how to live, I guess, in communion with him, to live... The abundant life is a kind of life that he promises. And anyways, I feel like we're going through each week and looking at one of them to do that. We're just back from, we have jet lag, bad jet lag right now. So I'm leaning back so far in this chair because...
Do you know any tricks for jet lag?
Water. Someone says if you drink 8 ounces of water for every hour that you flew.
Really?
Yes.
That doesn't sound real.
Well, I don't know if it's true, but I've never tried it. I read it and it feels doable. And I've never tried it, but I feel like it could work.
What was your favorite part about the Holy Land this time?
Oh my gosh. Easy. I took Jack. So my oldest son, Jack, got to come with me on the tour to Israel this year. And that was just awesome. It was just really cool to share something that I love so deeply with him, and just it made the experience so sweet. I mean, it's a 10 for 10 trip every single time, and this one just got to be even better. And anyways, it was awesome. It was
awesome.
It was your first time.
Yeah. I just fell in love with it. Just loved it. I loved the way that our Jewish brothers and sisters welcome in Shabbat. We went to the Western Wall on Friday night. They're dancing and singing and preparing to welcome in the Sabbath. Such a powerful paradigm shift for me to excited for this holy day.
Right. It's a land to practice holy envy for sure. It's a super rad place. We got to meet up over there, which was so cool.
In the old city.
Yeah, in the courtyard of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is one
there.
Of my favorite churches ever.
Yeah, such a powerful
spot. Yeah, I love and now that. We're back in the studio, but we're happy to be here talking about all these things. Okay, this week our talk is your patriarchal blessing. I could talk forever about the Holy Land, FYI, but we have to jump in to this because remember we promised everybody that it would be less than 25 minutes. And we'll talk 24 about the Holy Land in 1 minute about patriarchal blessings, and that would be fine, but sad. So just come with us on a tour. That's easy. And then we can talk about it the whole time while we're there. Okay, this one is patriarchal blessings. And there were two this conference about patriarchal blessings, which is really interesting because I was about to say something that made me sound like I was an expert on conference, but I can't remember when somebody talked about patriarchal blessings last.
It's not a common
topic. No. And it's interesting because I have a friend, an evangelical writer, preacher friend, and she says, if I were to join the LDS church, it would be for temples and patriarchal blessings, which when she said it, it made me think, oh, hold on. I think I'm so used to the idea of patriarchal blessings that I've lost maybe the majesty and wonder of them, because I don't know if I would have listed that. And so for her to say, I'm so intrigued and so drawn to something like that, made me just think, oh, hold on. Whoa. Let me rethink that. So this one's by Elder Randall K. Bennett. There was another talk also, and you can go read that one too, but we're focusing on this one for this week. And it's interesting because he kind of starts by saying almost encouraging, maybe you ought to consider getting one younger when you have a whole bunch of life decisions. The more life decisions you have in front of you might be better.
A wise time to think about getting a patriarchal blessing. Yeah. I obviously interact with a lot of people who are, because I teach at a university, I interact with a lot of people who are making decisions about career and marriage and life and where they're going to live. And it's interesting.
I just described college kids so formal. You're a lot of people who are in a stage of life who are, it's like college.
College kids.
Yeah, okay,
right,
good.
Yeah, university students. And it's interesting because I often find myself giving this advice. It kind of comes up sort of naturally, but I find myself saying the thing that stretches you, the opportunity that feels like you're faking it a little bit, that's a little outside of your comfort zone, that if you're not quite sure if you have the capacity to do it, that's probably the will of God. I think the Lord has a way of pulling us out of mediocrity into something bigger and better than we ever saw for ourselves. I've often remarked that life ended up way better than I thought it would. And I think it's because there's been a few times in my life where I sort of just faked it. Where I said, okay, I'm going to try graduate school. I'm going to try doing this and just kind of see what happens.
Bro, that is such a cool line to think of. You know God's hand is in it if you're being pulled out of mediocrity. Like that's, and I think it's interesting because
that's not how we view ourselves.
No. Yeah, because you actually can see that so much better in another person, way more than you can see it in yourself. I didn't word that very well, but I just feel like I can see somebody's potential and I can see how just like the gifts that somebody has so much easier than I can see them in myself. Like I almost want to, I feel like I belong in mediocrity and like, who am I to escape that? Who am I to dream bigger? Who am I to step out of a comfort zone is almost what I want to say to myself.
Yeah. And the question I have is, that's so interesting to me and so fascinating to me is, why do we insist on holding on to a lower, less capable view of ourselves? Why do we feel so comfortable in that kind of view of ourselves?
Okay, I can think of a couple reasons, and they're probably about you and not about me. But one is, just kidding. All I have is what's going on in my own head. So any thoughts I have are clearly about me. But one, I don't want to overbet on myself. Like when somebody like says something that they see in me that's a gift or potential or something like that, I have a really hard time believing them because I don't, what if they're wrong? And I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to believe something big about myself or beautiful about myself that I end up not being right about.
That could be, it invokes feelings of shame or embarrassment or just less worth. So it's sort of risky.
Yeah, you don't want to let yourself down, I guess.
Right. This is a more pessimistic answer, but sometimes also we like a lower view of ourselves because it just gives us an excuse to not perform the best we can, you know, obviously. Yeah. I mean, we've all caught ourselves in that kind of state.
And if God's pulling me out of mediocrity, like mediocrity is super comfortable. And I know there's those like super cutesy phrases where, you know, about, you know, there's no growth of the comfort zone or whatever, however that one goes. But it's interesting that we call one of the titles for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. But my friend Josh said, you know, at his mission president used to say, there's another name for the Holy Spirit, and that's the Uncomforter, you know, where he's just like, so he draws you out into places that are uncomfortable. And that's risky and scary, and it's new. And it's like people, I think, are averse naturally to things that are scary and risky. And so maybe that's another reason why we want to stay there.
So let's talk about one of the primary ways that the Lord does this. That in our tradition, the way that God pulls us out of mediocrity brings us into something higher and holier about ourselves, and that's patriarchal blessings.
Yeah, it's, I think, one of the, like, it's unique to Latter-day Saints. Right. And it's like so rad to consider that, wait, there is a ordinance, do we want to call it that? It's a blessing.
Yeah.
That draws you out. There's this line in here. Let me just read this because this, when I heard him say that, was, I was like, whoa. He's talking about a friend, and he says in this talk, a dear friend who joined the church as a young adult shared, when the patriarch placed his hands on my head and spoke my name, everything changed. And I want to say, I know a little bit about how much people like will analyze what words they're going to put in conference talks, and you only have 10, 12, 15 minutes or whatever. Those are big words to say, everything changed. And he says this, not just then, but for the rest of my life, I immediately sensed that through the power by which he spoke, I was known intimately and deeply. And maybe that's getting into a first thing, but I think we ought to pause for a second and just say, wow. He says, the second that he spoke my name and began that blessing, everything changed for me. Things became new and things became different. Like that singular event. I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I felt like my first time I went to the Holy Land, I came back and I was like, that was a life change. People use that phrase.
I've said that the last few days.
It's a life changing.
It was transformative.
Yeah.
It wasn't a vacation. It was something transformative about that experience.
Yeah. So those are, I mean, we could throw that phrase around a lot, right? Like, man, like when you drink, you know, the new strawberry Dr. Pepper, people could say like, that's life changing, man. And it's like, but not really. But he's talking about something that genuinely is. And I don't know, he gives some examples. Should we go into them or should we start by just asking, like, how about for you? Is there something about your patriarchal blessing that was life-changing? And maybe it's one of the things that he said, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to tie in really closely to what he says. And I think it has to do with the way that God saw me and my responsibilities and my capacities in this world. And what we want to do today is we want to give you the tools on how to read your patriarchal blessing again, anew, like afresh, anew, get something new from it.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a few things that Elder...
And to capture the wonder of it again,
yes, the
right?
majesty and like, beauty of it, yes.
To say what my friend Nish says, like, I want one. Well, I want one of those.
I mean, in some sense, like early part of the restoration, people would come to Joseph and then he would receive a revelation on their behalf. And that's a lot of our doctrine and covenants. And we get that individualized process through a patriarchal blessing. It's we go to someone who's authorized by God, who then speaks for God on our behalf. And there are, let's talk about some ways from what Elder Bennett says, that how we can read our patriarchal blessings again anew and see new insights. So here's one thing. He says, first, through the power of the Holy Ghost, my patriarchal blessing helped me understand my true eternal identity, who I really was and who I could become. It helped me know, as President Nelson has taught, that I was a son of God, a child of the covenant, and a disciple of Jesus Christ. So it might be helpful to go through a patriarchal blessing and then underline or mark or identify all of the identities that God gives us,
yeah.
the roles and attributes that he gives us. And here's why I think this is so powerful. It's because I remember hearing Stephen Covey say, or reading, it was an audio book, I think he said, the way you change someone's paradigm, the very essence of how they see the world is by giving them a new name.
Yeah, and I feel like Jesus does that in
Absolutely.
Scripture. Like you can find times when he actually does that. And like Simon, for example, like we even know him by his other name, but it's interesting. Oh, it seems like day one, when Jesus meets him, he's like, I'm actually call you Peter from now on. It's a word that means the rock. And I think there was something about that he was teaching him about his potential. He was teaching him about maybe a character trait that was buried in there somewhere. And maybe a nickname that Peter would have never given to himself. I think there's something about a patriarchal blessing where the Lord will say things that, like, if you said them to yourself, I think you'd look in the mirror and say, like, wait, is it actually true? Because I'm the one saying it. Like, am I trying to convince myself that I am that? And who am I to maybe say that? But if God says it, I don't know. It hits different. If God says, David, you are this. And David, you are that.
This is not some cheap self-help process. This is the God of the universe saying, I see something in you that you don't see in yourself.
Yeah.
And that kind of realization, when it comes from that kind of authority, it changes us profoundly.
Outside of me, right?
Right.
It's someone outside of me who's like almost speaking that over me and helping me see that. I did that one time because in a Don't Miss This episode, that's another podcast that I do. And we were talking about a scripture story and maybe it was like what God sees in people and the nicknames that he'd give. And in our journal that we have, there was a question like, what nickname do you think he'd give you? And I thought, well, that's actually, you know, I printed that up that I thought that would actually be a really hard
right.
question to answer. And this, what you just said is the same idea that I had. I was like, oh, if you have one, go to your patriarchal blessing and pull words out of it. Because he already gave you one. You know, he already like spoke a name over you, like go see what it is that he said. And you're like, it's different if I say like, oh, I kind of think like God would say this about me. It sounds funny. But what if he already has? He's like, oh, I already said that about you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Elder Bennett, he also says this, his patriarchal blessing. He says, quote, "This led me to study the covenants I had made and the promised blessing in God's covenant with Abraham. It gave me an eternal perspective that inspired me to more fully keep my covenants." Okay, so we get a lineage with the patriarchal blessing. And some you might think like, oh, that's kind of nice. But to be taken up in the family of Abraham means that my whole mission, my whole purpose, my whole identity has changed. The short of it is really simple. God called a specific family to go fix the world, the family of Abraham. And now I'm all of a sudden, I don't exist just to make myself happy or to make money. But God has called me to be a part of the most important work on the earth, to go bless all of humankind.
Yeah. And it's interesting because in addition, like that would be true of everybody who gets one, everyone as part of that family, that universal purpose. But then I also feel like he helps you see maybe where you're, where you individually and specifically would could help do that.
Excellent.
Obviously, it's too big and arduous of a work for a single, right? We need every kind of personality and every kind of profession, I think, and every people of every kindred, nation, tongue, like to be able to help bring that about in their own unique ways. And I think a patriarchal blessing does that too. He says this line in there, and I don't know if this goes with it or not, because maybe it goes into something else, but he says, "I knew I was known and loved and that by Heavenly Father, my Savior, and they were personally involved in my life." And it's like, oh man, my two older boys just got their patriarchal blessings. And I think I love my patriarchal blessing. I should just say to everybody, you know, like I genuinely like, it's like a treasure to me. I really, really like it a lot. But when I sat in listening to a patriarch give my sons their patriarchal blessings, I almost loved it more sitting there watching them receive one than myself. And part of it was I've been Jack and Christian's dad for 16, 17 years. And two things were really cool. One, I was amazed about what was said in that blessing that only a mom or dad would know with close observation. There were gifts that were mentioned that I don't think I would have said them necessarily, but when he said them, I was like, oh my gosh, Jack's been that way since he was 4 years old. And I've seen that in Christian year after year after year. And I was blown away that that gift was like brought out and spoken to them. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then the second was, I loved that I was learning things about them that I hadn't seen yet as their dad. I was like, they live at my house. And I was like, I've actually not seen that. Maybe glimmers of it, but it was cool because it taught me something about them. And more importantly, it taught them something about them.
I mean, speaking of the majesty and awe of it, that was beautiful what you just said. And it's, I mean, you there are these humans that you live in the same house, you know, for me, my wife, Kirsten, our six kids. And I think there's no one that loves these people as much as I do. And a patriarchal blessing is one of the ways that God says, like, I love these beings infinitely, and perfectly. And so, I mean, and so in that sense, a patriarchal blessing helps us see ourselves. And maybe more importantly, it helps us see the ones we love even more clearly as well.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's wild, the ripple effect that comes from something like this, you know? I think there is another ripple effect too, which is when Jack and when Christian and when I and you and everybody like knows I'm seen and known by name, I've got an identity and I have a purpose. Now all of a sudden, like the way I live out my life is differently. And it gives me permission to live out my purpose. How sad if some people stayed in mediocrity. How sad, not just for them, but how sad for their neighbors and how sad for the rest of the world. Because, I mean, think of the people who've like were inspired and then now they've had an impact on you. And right. And I just think, oh man, if when God lights them up, all of us, then, oh, he's not just blessing me individually, but by ripple effect, everybody around me too.
Absolutely. And
these are so rad. I want to join the church now for a patriarchal blessing. I'm like getting so hyped on it right now. I just like, I love it. I love like, that's what's so good about this. You just take some of these things like line by line and promise by promise. And it's like,
yeah,
hold on. Let me just like, and you know, look at this a little closer and yeah.
And anyways. I have to shamelessly say this. Like this is just what, yet another reason I don't think the restoration is just yet another Christian denomination among others. But it offers unique resources that connect us with God and his son in ways that you can't get through any other tradition, in my opinion.
Okay, I was going to say just a couple more things. I think that, man, I wish we could just talk about all of them. But as you go through, I went through and I started like highlighting in the talk, like all the things that changed for him and that it made me want to start adding more onto the list. But some that he says, like, getting a patriarchal blessing gave me the desire and courage to repent. He's like, if I knew what I could be, it gave me the courage to like do whatever I needed to do to get there.
Yeah, if repentance means I'm becoming something I'm not, it's not a very joyful process.
Yeah.
But what that statement he just said implies is that repentance means I'm finally becoming my authentic self, the self that God intended for me to be. It's not a matter of, oh, I'm just going to fake holiness my whole life.
Yeah.
But I'm repenting into my calling. I'm repenting into what I'm supposed to be.
Helping someone like live out what their true identity actually is, discover and live it out. Like a patriarchal blessing does that. One of the last paragraphs, this is so awesome. He says this: when I cherish my patriarchal blessing, it brings about these like results, I guess. And I just want to say this, PS, like I'm involved with a company called the Good News Brand, and we have a book there that was like produced, and it's almost about to be back in stock, by the way, that I think helps guide somebody through like the questions you might ask and some of the exercises you could do with a patriarchal blessing to really start to cherish it. So if anyone's interested in that, go to the Good News Brand Co. And check that out if you're interested. But he says, this is what I discovered, that I had courage when I was discouraged, comfort when I was fearful, peace when I felt anxious, hope when I felt hopeless, and joy when I needed it the most. And I think in the beginning of this talk, he even talks about like when he was 12 years old, his parents were going through a divorce. And he said, that's when I actually started to yearn for a patriarchal blessing. And he was like, it was something that was too big for me. And I think God planted that desire in him, because a kid of parents who are divorced could really come away with an identity that isn't true. You know, they could, you know, put the fault on themselves. They could, you know, all of a sudden they like, oh, I'm a kid from a broken home, or I'm a kid from, you know, this and this and this. And I think we can easily give ourselves false identities. And I think we're prone to give ourselves negative and less than ones. Like the false, you could give yourself an over-exaggerated false identity, but I think it's human nature to give yourself one that's less than you really are. And it's interesting that in a time like that, like that carried him through. When God gave him an identity and a purpose, it carried him through a really difficult time. And he says it still does. That blessing still does that for me.
Yeah, in a small way, our patriarchal blessings reveal to us just why our Father sent his Son to go to the cross for us. He didn't die for us in general, but he died to save specific individuals with specific gifts and abilities. And some people may have difficulty with their patriarchal blessings. They may have questions about it. They may wonder about certain aspects of it. And just know that it's just a springboard that appoints us to the cross, which is the ultimate way God reveals what he thinks about us, as he thinks we're so valuable that he sent the Savior to be crucified on our behalf.
Phew, amen. That's so awesome. Okay, we'll see you next week.